Well, let's start with you then, Lee, back in the, well, pretty much the Midlands, which when you've lived such a global lifestyle of yourself, is close to home.
Yes, it is. I mean, this is not all that far from Birmingham, where I grew up, and Coventry, where I was born. And actually, down here in Gloucester, I have one of my brothers living. And so it feels like home, yeah.
Does it mean there's a chance to get around and say hi to a few old pals, or do you end up very focused on the work that you're doing while you're here?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's more or less busy dawn to dusk, although I was just doing Sky Television there, and I bumped into a whole bunch of people I worked with at Granada. So, you know, there's always somebody pops out of the woodwork, and it's fun to have those random encounters.
It's interesting you talk about Granada, because, of course, the whole start of your career really was to do with the fact that you left Granada, and you had to because it was shrinking. And we've had news this week of the BBC losing 2,000 out of 17,000 workers. It's a difficult industry, the media, isn't it? And I suppose that's why you jumped out.
Well, I loved it. I mean, I was there 18 years at Granada, and I had a really great time. And we looked at the BBC as our very respected rivals, and I think it was a golden age for both of us, frankly. And then these things come and go in cycles. And in the middle 90s, yeah, we lost a lot of people, not just media, but industry as a whole. And I know that's happening again now with the BBC and other people. And all I can say is it worked out all right for me. You know, you just got to assume that you've picked up these habits, you've got skills, you know how to do things. This is the time to be bold and try and go forward rather than worry and shrink into yourself.
Is it a slightly surreal experience for you? Because clearly last time there was a big recession and this one's global. It very much affected you. Now, as a writer, as someone who needs to be connected to what's going on, I suppose, you're sort of above that because you've had so much, you know, financial success as much as literary success.
Yeah, I can pay my bills, but I what happens with writers is typically, as in my case, absolutely typical. We've done something else first. For half your lifetime, you've done something else first, and writing is the second half thing. So you're pretty much formed as a person by the time that you do get fat and happy. And so I still am very much in touch with what's going on, and because, you know, readers are regular people and I'm in contact with them all the time and I know what their lives are like. And that's a great thing about books, you know, they're cheap, so that maybe you can't afford to go on that big vacation you were going to go on, but you can still get a lot of enjoyment by reading books. They're pretty much recession proof.
I don't want this interview to jump around too much, but there's lots of exciting things to talk about. And you talking there, we must talk about your history in Birmingham, because I know you went to the second best school in Birmingham. I went to Camp Hill, so we'll talk about that in a while. But you mentioned there, you know, that idea of being formed before you start your writing career. And interestingly, in a way, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think Reacher was kind of formed right from that very first book. And although, of course, he's grown, there was a clear sense of who he was. And so, interestingly, with The Affair, there's been a real chance for you to work out, maybe for yourself as well as the audience, where that formation came from.
Yes, it was very much for myself, because I don't plan, I don't really have a shape in mind for the series as a whole, and I don't really have a completed biography in my mind for the character. And yet people have always asked, why did he leave the army when he was clearly so content in it? Why did he leave? And so I've never really worked out that story for myself until this year when I wrote The Affair. This is what shook him loose, and it's about his sense of honor and decency. And I think that's the key to him. He's a decent person. But he was fully formed in Killing Floor, which this book loops around too. You know, it's like an endless loop now that the series progresses, but The Affair loops back to the beginning of it. And I'm hoping he hasn't really changed that much, because I believe that for books of this type, people don't really want that literary character arc, the development. They want the same guy every time, and that's what I try and give them.
Yeah, I mean, you've described Reacher, we should talk about him as well as the story, you've described Reacher as a knight errant. I mean, maybe this is our different backgrounds, but I see him more as an amalgamation of the A-team, basically. He rolls into town, he's a bit of B.A. Baroccas, he's got the brains as well, and he always falls foul of some kind of plot that's going on in town at the time.
Yeah, you're exactly right, but if you analyse that one step deeper, the A-team is a kind of split-up version of the knight-errant, which has always been there throughout history. He was there in the Westerns, he was there in the medieval sagas from Europe. It's really the same concept every time. And the blowing into town and the blowing out of town at the end of the story is essential, and obviously the A-team does that really well. They're a visual metaphor for the whole character. They arrive at high speed, they leave at high speed. And that's what these characters do.